Well, again, the United States is not trying to control, Iran society and the decisions that they make. Obviously, they react when you have a president like Ahmadinejad that talks about death to the West, we're going to wipe Israel off the map. So obviously, there's a reaction to that. But no, these negotiations are conducted as equals. I know people in Iran got somewhat upset when Secretary Kerry and the Iranian foreign minister took a walk in Geneva. But we've been talking here. We have reached an interim agreement that basically has both sides making certain amount of concessions. Will we get to the final agreement? I hope so, because I think if we do, the world will be safer, Iran's position in the world will be more secure, and with the lifting of these international sanctions, their economy can get to where it's supposed to be. But, basically, the United States is not trying to change the way, the Iranians run their society, the role of religion in society. That's not our goal. Our goal mainly is to ensure that the Middle East is stable, and that's why we're working with Iran. President Obama's been criticized for leaving Iraq. He said, we're getting out of here. We don't want to stay. We only went back when the Iraqis and the Iranians asked us to come in and to save the people, the Yazidis on Mount Sinjar.
Well, Mark Len, when we take a look at the fundamentals of the Islamic Revolution and also the foundations, there are some things that the Islamic Republic is very passionate about based on the late Imam Khomeini. And one of the causes has been Palestine. And I don't want to go through history too much, but, we just saw Palestine embassy be opened up in Sweden. We've seen how much the Palestinian cause has actually come into recognition. Of course, Israel helped out by attacking Gaza on a couple of occasions with the mounting death toll and, of course, the repression of Palestinian territories. But it seems like the world has said, you know what? Yes, Iran did have a point, does have a point. Mm-hmm. So has the world realized that some of the ideals of the Islamic Republic, which perhaps they were against in the past, they now approve of?
Yes, absolutely. Even the strongest anesthetic has a certain time period where it's going to be effective, and then it's going to wear off. And the anesthetic that has been injected into the minds of principally the West, and unfortunately, specifically the minds of my own fellow Americans concerning the entire Israeli-Palestinian situation, is beginning to wear off, and they're beginning to get sick of all the bloodshed and the oppression, and then, of course, all of the talking heads and mouthpieces coming forth and saying, no, those dead children with their brains blown out, they were future terrorists, and therefore we were justified in doing this. And so in that sense, the revolution in Iran has been vindicated, because Iran, unlike many of the Arab countries in the region that have had more of a bird's eye view to what was going on, they stayed uncomfortably silent on this issue, while Iran, not being a Sunni country and not being an Arab country, nevertheless was the one who mounted the charge and spoke up for Palestinian rights. And so in that sense, yes, the fruits of the revolution have been vindicated. The world is beginning to see now that what is taking place and what has been taking place is completely unacceptable in what we would call any kind of civilized times. In that sense, this is just another fruit off of the tree of the revolution.
Well, Lawrence Korb, let's move on a little bit and talk about the region as a whole. We've seen what has happened in the past 4 years. We could talk about the revolution in Yemen, which is finally coming to fruition. What's going on in Bahrain? Egypt, not so stable. Tunisia, well, they're on their way. Really, looking at some of the other Persian Gulf countries, these monarchies, well, they don't like Iran per se, because it spells out democracy, at least compared to what they have. Isn't it true that, therefore, Iran can be a role model in that sense, while at the same time see eye to eye, perhaps, with the U.S., with some of the regional conflicts that are taking place, in particular, for example, the fight against Daesh or the ISIL?
Well, as I mentioned before, I think that the United States and Iran are on the same page when it comes to dealing with ISIL or ISIS in Iraq. In fact, Secretary Kerry mentioned that when he was talking to the UN last summer about this. If you're looking at, I think a model would be Tunisia, where you had people rose up when you had a young man immolate himself, and they were able to get rid of a very authoritarian government. And basically now they have an elected government. There are other places where the Arab Spring didn't work too well. For example, in Egypt, they got rid of Mubarak, who was a dictator. Morsi didn't seem to be able to run it to the satisfaction of the majority of the people in Egypt. And now you have another, you know, authoritarian government, which the United States has been very careful not to get close to. In fact, you know who visited Egypt yesterday was Putin. Okay, and Sisi has already been to Moscow to show that he's unhappy that the United States is not supporting, you know, the direction that they're going. I think, you know, basically, I would like all of the people have the same rights and privileges I have. I mean, that's why we have, you know, immigrants from all over the world still coming to the United States. But I think this is something that the people in the region have to decide for themselves. The Iranians have made their choice, and you know, they have, as I say, the 2009 election didn't seem to be very fair. The most recent one did seem to be. So basically, this is the choice that they make, and we're not bothering with it. In fact, our relations with Iran after the overthrow of the Shah were good until the Iranians seized the American embassy and seized the hostages, and that, you know, put them down for a while. But we worked together in the first Gulf War and in the war in Afghanistan, and now working together in Iraq.
Well, Mark Glenn, this is one of the problems that perhaps Iran, I'm sure, experiences when they deal with the U.S. in terms of getting engaged in any shape or form. And that is how the U.S. keeps, for example, as an ally, the then Shah, and then they weren't interested in him. Or we could talk Egypt's Mubarak. We can talk about actually a number of people that the U.S. had as a strong ally, but they just decades-long relationship just goes out the window, not particularly that quickly, but in the works maybe. So the trust factor is not going to be there. Do you think the U.S. is looking at Iran in the short term, or is it really looking at Iran to be engaged to at a minimum or limited engagement as a partner maybe in the region?
No, I don't see that at all. As I said, I think that the entire goal here is to undo what took place in 1979, in which the people of Iran are celebrating today, which is a successful revolution, not these failed phony revolutions that have taken place under the guise of the quote-unquote Arab Spring. Essentially here with the United States and more principally Israel, what they are truly afraid of is that Iran is going to export the fruits of that revolution to countries such as Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and teach them how to do what up to this point they have been unsuccessful in doing, which is to throw the West out and to start acting like sovereign nations. Were it not for the fact that these countries are strategically important to industrialized powers, and especially an industrialized world power like the United States, and the fact that they have oil under them, and the fact that we have Israel in the region, which we have been tasked with protecting no matter what she engages in, the fact of the matter is that Iran wouldn't matter, none of these countries would matter. But the fact that they do have these strategically important resources and Israel is in the area, what this means is that the United States cannot afford to have these other countries becoming twin sisters and twin brothers to Iran and kicking the United States out, and then possibly forming possible alliances with the Russians, for example. Israel can only exist in an environment of instability. And if it's one thing that Iran was very successful in doing after 1979, was bringing political and social stability to her country. If the other nations in the region begin acting like Iran and shake off the shackles of that instability that Israel needs in order to survive, then Israel truly will be wiped off the map, as we are constantly being warned is going to happen.
Thank you very much. We unfortunately have to end it there. We're fresh out of time. From the Crescent and Cross Solidarity Movement, Mark Glenn there with the statements here in the studios. And Senior Advisor at the Center for Defense Information, Lawrence Korf, spoke to us from Washington. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Vitaly and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, is goodbye.